Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Over the last few weeks, we've been in a series that really talks about faith. Have you been enjoying it so far? As we've been walking through the book of Hebrews and specifically looking at Hebrews chapter 11, by faith this happened, by faith this person did this. Do you know that without faith you cannot please God? I want some faith. I want some resilient faith that can get me through the storm. I want resilient faith that can help me overcome the battle. I want some resilient faith that can see things that are not as though they were. I want some resilient faith that will help get me through to the end. I want some resilient faith. You want that kind of faith? And seeing your faith grow week by week in this house brings such joy to Meredith and I. As we look around the room and we interact with different ones, I believe that God is stirring something deep in the hearts of our church to see faith for the impossible. I love it. It brings great joy to hear about what God is doing in your life. And as I was praying about this message, part of what I wanted to speak and part of what I felt like God wanted me to say today is that it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I know that there's something that's going on in your life where you feel like it keeps you up at night and it's robbed you from countless hours of sleep. It's going to be all right. I know that there's that thing that when you first wake up, it enters into your mind and it's the first thing that you think about. It's the last thing that you think about. It causes you all kinds of anxiety and it causes you all kinds of heartache and it causes you all kinds of grief. It's going to be all right. We serve a big God that flung the stars into the sky. We serve a big God that can do the impossible. I've seen it take place time and time again in my life. It's going to be all right. And I prophesy to you that you will look back on this season from sometime in the future and you will laugh to yourself, why did I used to care so much about that thing? It's going to be all right. I just need you to tap somebody and just tell them it's going to be all right. Help me prophesy. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And so we're going to end in Hebrews today. But before we get to Hebrews, we first need to understand the context of Genesis. Genesis is where we've been walking through and understanding about what God was doing through Abraham and through Isaac. And now today we're talking about Jacob, what God did through the life of Jacob. And Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a liar. Jacob liked to deceive people. And it doesn't take long to read much of his story to understand that he lied to different people to try and get ahead. He didn't give two hoots about who he was lying to. He didn't care about who he was trying to take advantage of. Jacob lied to his father so that he could steal his brother's birthright. What kind of man does that? And not only does he do that, he then flees and for 20 years he lives somewhere else. For 2 decades, he lives out building his own family, knowing what he has done, and now God leads him back towards his brother Esau. For 20 years, he has been out in the wilderness, and now he's coming back, and understandably so, he thinks that his brother wants to kill him. And so what Jacob does is that he sends his family out ahead of him, and he stays overnight by himself before he enters back into Esau's camp. And this is where we enter into, I think, one of the strangest, most profound, most bizarre stories that we read about in Scripture. And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. This is where we're picking up today's reading. I'm reading from the CSB. It says, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip socket as they wrestled and dislocated his hip. Then he said to Jacob, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Come on, say bless me. "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," he replied. "Your name will no longer be Jacob," he said. "It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he answered, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him. Say, blessed him. Blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face," he said, "yet my life has been spared." The sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is why still today the Israelites don't eat the thigh muscle that is at the hip socket, because he struck Jacob's hip socket at the thigh muscle. I know that it might not look like it, but I got kicked in the face a couple weeks ago. I know it might not look like it. If the camera zoomed in real close, you would be able to see it. You don't need to do that. I know it doesn't look like it, but I was, it was an accident. It wasn't on purpose. It wasn't Meredith that did it. She didn't intention. It wasn't one of the boys. I was playing soccer in a real elite recreational Sunday night. Meredith's laughing because she knows that it's not that elite. We play Sunday evening together, and accidentally someone cleated me to the face. There was blood coming from all up here. Y'all want to see a photo? All right, if you said yes, keep looking at the screen. If you said no, I want you to cover your eyes. If you get a little grossed out by blood, cover your eyes, because in 3, 2, 1, have a look at this. That's my face right there, like 2 weeks ago. Okay, take it down. Did it look like it hurt? It hurt, y'all. And it was an accident. The guy apologized. He didn't mean to do it. It's all good. It's not that big a deal. But when it happened, it was interesting how many people said to me, "Oh, that looked like it hurt." Like, oh, I got kicked in the face. Of course it hurt. I do not recommend that to anybody. Of course it hurt. The next thing that people would say to me, though, is, "Oh, man, it's on your face. I sure hope that it doesn't scar. I hope that it doesn't scar." It's interesting to me when the first person said that, because I hadn't yet thought about it, but of course it made sense to me because it's on my face and it's an open wound, so it's probably going to scar. What became interesting is when the second person said, "Man, it's on your face, I sure hope that it doesn't scar." And then the third person said, "Man, it's on your face, I sure hope that it doesn't scar." And then the fifth person and the seventh person and the tenth person, and just about every single person that saw me during that 2 week period said, "Oh man, it's on your face, I sure hope that it doesn't scar." It's interesting to me that we have this aversion to scarring in our bodies. It's interesting to me that we have this desire to try and hide the scars that we have. It's interesting to me that we try and cover these things up. My scars help me tell my story. My scars are a part of my story. I have earned every scar that is on my body. I have a scar now on my face from when I got kicked in the head. I have a scar on my hand from when I was riding a scooter and I put my hand down in the gravel because I fell off, and now I have a scar right here. I have a scar on my heel that you probably haven't seen because I was chasing a remote control car when I was young, and I was running in bare feet along the road and the remote control car just sliced my heel right open. I have a scar on my head right here from when I was attacked in South America and someone hit me with a rock and it split my head open. I have scars on my back right here from when I donated stem cells to a terminally ill boy last year. I have scars all over my body. You have scars on your body, right? Come on, wave at me if you have some kind of scar. See, everybody has scars. It would be strange to me if you didn't have any kind of scar. Because, like, what kind of life are you living if you don't have any scars? I get, like, if you don't have a lot of scars, but if you don't have any scars on your body, scars are, to me, part of the evidence that while the enemy has tried to take you out, that he didn't succeed in what he was trying to do. We try and hide our scars, though. And scars haven't always been something that we try and hide. Our scars aren't always something that we've tried to avoid, that we've always tried to cover up. Thousands of years ago, when you had a scar, it was evidence that you had overcome the enemy. When you returned back into your camp and you had scars that were now on your body, it was a badge of honor that while the enemy tried to take you out, that you have scars because he couldn't do that. Because you're a better fighter, because you're faster, because you're stronger. And while he tried to take you out, all he could do was nick you. And now you've got scars that tell your tale. Now you've got scars that tell your story. It's interesting, though, that if you fast forward to today, we try and hide our scars. We try and cover up our scars. This is in the 20th and 21st century. We started doing this as society with this ideal image of what beauty looks like. And now we have surgery, and now we have technology, and now we have makeup, and we have all of these kind of things that we can use to cover up the different scars that we have. And you don't have enough hair on your head, so you can go to Turkey and you can get that taken care of. You don't like the way that your nose looks, and so you can go under the knife and you can get that taken care of. You can take a selfie of yourself and you don't like the way that you look in it, and so you can tap the screen and make something disappear. You can tap the screen and it can make you darker. You can tap the screen and it can make you lighter. You can tap the screen and it can make you thicker. You can tap the screen and it can make you thinner. You can tap the screen and it can grow something. You can tap the screen and it can hide something. But that didn't exist in biblical times. And Jacob, he had a scar. Jacob, he had a limp. And Jacob, he couldn't hide this limp that he had. Jacob now would go through life with this limp, and everybody knew it. Everybody that saw him would see him with this limp. And children would now notice this limp, and they would point out, there goes Jacob, he's the man with the limp. His friends that hadn't seen him in some time would ask him, hey Jake, what happened? Why are you limping now? And people would point out and people would ask questions, and Jacob now had a choice how he was going to respond. He could respond with, yeah, my leg doesn't work the way that it used to, and he could respond with frustration, but Jacob didn't respond like that. Jacob responded, you want to know why I limp? Grace. Grace is why I limp. Because I have encountered the face of the Lord Almighty, and I have lived to tell the tale. God has given me victory. That's why I limp today. He has spared me when he didn't have to do that. But God has looked in my direction, and he has given me a new name. You still call me Jacob, but God now calls me Israel, the one who will prevail. God has given him a new name. God has given him a new identity. Don't you love how God renames things in the Bible? Don't you love that? We go from Penuel to Peniel. We go from Luz to Bethel. We go from Abram to Abraham. We go from Saul to Paul. We go from Simon to Peter. Names are changed all the time in the Bible as we begin to understand someone's purpose differently, as we begin to understand someone's identity differently. As God begins to change the purpose for something, God changes the name of that thing. We changed the name of one of our children when we adopted him. He had one name as we were fostering him, and then when we adopted him, we changed his name because he was no longer someone else's child that we were raising. He was now my child. And when he became my child, I want him to be marked by me that spiritually, that legally, that officially, you are now my child. And so I renamed him so that he would have my name. And so you can hide your scars if you want to, but why would you? Because your scars help you tell your story. And when people would ask Jacob about why you're limping, he would point to God and say, well, he spared me when he didn't have to. That God could have taken me out, but he saw fit to save me and to give me a new identity. And because of grace, I live here to tell another story, and I live here to fight another day. And because of God, I'm still here standing. What story do your scars tell about you? What story does your limp tell about you? And it would be irresponsible of me today if I was here only talking about the physical scars that are on our body. Jacob had his limp. I have the scars that are on my, you have the scars that are on your body. But these are not the only scars that we try to cover up. These are not the only scars that we try to hide. We all have different scars that we try and spend our entire life to try and hide from people and to try and hide from Jesus. These are the psychological scars. These are the emotional scars. These are the relational scars. These are the soulical scars that we have in our own life that we try and hide from other people, that we try and hide from Jesus. Pain, because he hasn't responded to our prayer. Rejection from that relationship. Rejection from the job application that we wanted. Insecurity, because we still don't have the love from our father that we wanted. It doesn't matter what the wound is, we're carrying scars from all of these different places. We're carrying scars, and I'm going after it today. I'm going after it today because I believe that God wants to do something about this. These are the scars that we try and hide from Jesus. These are the scars that we try and hold and hide from the church. These are the scars that when we wake up in the morning, we think, well, I'm wrestling with this thing today, and so I can't go to church. Well, I'm wrestling with that thing today, and so it's going to hold me from the gathering. We hold ourselves back because what if people knew this thing about me, then they wouldn't accept me anymore. If I showed them this scar that's on me, if I showed them this thing that I had done, if I showed them this thing that had been done to me, then they wouldn't accept me anymore, and they wouldn't embrace me anymore, and they wouldn't want me anymore. And so we learn to hide and to hold these scars to ourselves. What if people knew about this thing that I had done? Well, they wouldn't want me. They wouldn't accept me in the church anymore. Well, I got good news for you. Firstly, God can handle it. I know this to be true because I have seen him in my own life handle my biggest mess that I have. I've seen him do it time and time again. I know this to be true because in John chapter 20, we see the resurrected Jesus come into a room and Thomas is there. And Thomas says to him, how can I believe that you are Jesus? I saw you die 3 days ago. And Jesus doesn't get angry at him. Jesus doesn't belittle him. Jesus doesn't try to fight with him. Jesus shows him his what? He shows him his scars. Matter of fact, he doesn't just say, look at my scars. He says, Thomas, put your fingers in my scars. And because he did so, Thomas went as far east as he could possibly go to try and tell as many people as would listen to him that there is a God who won't hide his scars from you, that there is a Savior who doesn't hide his scars from you. And now that's why every second church in India is named St. Thomas Church, because Thomas believed in a God that wouldn't hide his scars from him. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, though, that the resurrected Jesus didn't need to resurrect with scars. It's interesting. The greatest miracle that has ever taken place, the greatest miracle that will ever take place, has just happened. Jesus has overcome death and hell and the grave. He has defeated the enemy once and for all. The veil has been torn from the top to the bottom. This miracle has just taken place, but the scars, they remain. The scars are still there. It's interesting, he didn't have to resurrect with the scars, but isn't it beautiful that he did? And what it tells us is that because Jesus didn't hide his scars from us, you don't have to hide your scars from him. Why are you hiding your scars from him? Why are you hiding your scars from the church? God is big enough to handle it. Maybe what it's telling us is that God did not come to the earth in the form of Jesus to remove your scars, but he came to redeem them. God did not come to take away the scars, he came to redeem him. And maybe we need to change the way that we pray. Instead of praying, God, won't you remove this memory from my life? Instead of praying that, maybe we should pray, God, won't you redeem it? Instead of praying, God, won't you remove that relationship? Won't you remove that thought? God, won't you remove that thing from my life? Maybe we should pray, God, won't you redeem it? Instead of praying, God, won't you cause the enemy to not form any weapons against me? Won't you start praying, God, won't you ensure that they don't come against me and take me out? That they won't prevail against me, that they won't cause me to lose my life, that they won't cause me to lose my mind, that they won't prosper against me. Come on. God can handle it because he didn't hide his scars from us, and so you don't have to hide your scars from him. I know that you thought that you had to, but you don't. The place that I've found that I've met God the most is right in the middle of the places of my scarring. Right in the middle of, it's the messiest parts of my life that I've found that I meet God the loudest. God is loudest in my life in the places that I thought that I had to hide from him. God meets me there. And I promise you that as you give these things to God, that God will meet you right in the middle of that place. The place that you thought that you couldn't bring him, that's the place that God gets the loudest in your own life. That's the first good news. The second good news is that this is a church where you can bring your scars. You don't have to hide your scars from the church. Your marriage might be all kinds of jacked up. That's okay. You should tell somebody because there's hope here. You might be wrestling with addiction today. That's okay. You should tell someone because there's hope here. You might be wrestling with depression and anxiety. That's okay. You should tell someone because there's hope here. And his name is Jesus. There's no way that you're any more jacked up than the rest of us. There's no way that you're any more messed up than the rest of us. Tell somebody there's hope here. I believe in a God who came to the earth and kept his scars, and I believe that we can also keep our scars as well. And the beautiful thing is that we can learn how to worship even with our scars. That's the beautiful thing. God is saying today that you don't need to hide your scars. I can use them, that your scars don't make you unworthy. They make you eligible for my grace. And what you call ugly, God calls redeemed. You don't have to hide your scars anymore. Please, please, seriously, for the love of God, stop hiding your scars. I believe that God wants to do something with us as a church. I believe that God wants to do something with us as individuals, and he cannot do it if we keep on hiding our scars from him. But I believe that God wants to do something powerful in our lives. And I believe that God wants to do something in us and through us. And what happens is that when we go through life, we begin to walk a little differently. When we begin to battle something in our life, we begin to walk a little differently. Just like Jacob interacted with God and he began to walk a little bit differently. Just like something happens in your life, you begin to walk a little bit differently, not because you're weaker, but because you've been marked by God. Not because you're weaker, but because you've been transformed by God. I believe that you're getting ready to walk a little bit differently when you encounter the presence of the living God. You will begin to walk a little bit differently, but your scars don't call you disqualified. Your scars make you eligible for the grace of God. Stop hiding your scars. Your scars tell the story that the enemy tried to take you out, but he couldn't. Your scars tell the story that while he tried to nick you, while he might have even hurt you, that he cannot fully take you out, that the enemy is trying as hard as he possibly can, but now your testimony shares of the goodness of God. Your testimony shares of the victory of God. Your testimony shares of the provision of God. Your testimony shares of the presence of God. God is doing something great in this church and through this church. And now we can get to Hebrews. Now we can finally read about what God says in Hebrews. And this is me. I'm getting ready to close. I've only got like 15 more minutes. Actually, why don't you stand up? It'll help me. It'll help me close more quickly. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And I want you to catch this. And he worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. And he worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. He worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. In his old age, still worshiping, still wrestling with the limp that he had, unable to stand on his own, not frustrated in what had happened, worshiping while he leaned on his staff. He learned how to worship with his limp. The question for you today is, do you know how to worship with your scars? Are you able to worship with your limp? Are you able to worship with your scars? Can you worship even while you're waiting for your miracle? Can you worship while you're still waiting on your breakthrough? Can you worship when things haven't happened the way that you thought that they would? Can you worship in the middle of your disappointment? Can you worship when things haven't happened just like you prayed that they would? Can you still worship? Can you worship in the middle of all of it? It's the beautiful thing about the story of Jacob is that he learned how to worship with his limp. He learned how to worship with his scars. And there's a story of someone who was born 200 years ago, a guy named Horatio. He was actually born in Chicago, not too far from here. And he got married and had five children of his own. That's a lot. That's too many. But he was a righteous man. He was a good man. Loved the Lord. He was a successful businessman, successful lawyer. And as you know, Chicago underwent a devastating fire that just leveled the entire city. And it destroyed Horatio's business and bankrupted him. And around that same time, his son also got sick and passed away. Horatio began to wrestle with this and have conversations with his wife. I feel like I'm pursuing the Lord. I feel like I'm in right relationship with him, but my business is ruined and I've lost everything. Why is this happening to me? Why am I dealing with this? My son has now been lost. My son has passed away. My business, I've lost everything. He said to his wife, I think that we need to go and spend time with a good friend of ours, D.L. Moody, who is leading revivals in the UK. So they bought tickets to head across the Atlantic, and right around when they were getting ready to board the ship, a business opportunity came about, and he said, well, I'm just gonna take care of this real quick, and he sent his wife, Anna, and their four remaining daughters on the ship to go across to the UK, and he stayed behind. And as Anna and their daughters were on the ship collided with another ship and sank. Over 200 people perished, including their four daughters. And Anna made her way all the way to the UK and sent a telegram back to Horatio, and she said these famous words, saved alone, what should I do? Horatio received this message, got devastated, heartbroken. He's already lost his business. He's already lost all of his savings. He's now lost all five of his children. What do I do? So he bought a ticket so that he could also get to the UK so that he could console his grieving wife. And as he arrived right at the place where the wreckage had taken place and taken the lives of his four children, the words rose up within him. Whatever happens, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. He didn't wait until the pain stopped before he started worshiping. He didn't wait until he stopped grieving before he started worshiping. Right in the middle of his heartache, when he was on top of where his children had passed away, he said, it is well with my soul. He learned how to worship with his limp. He learned how to worship with his scars. He learned how to worship in the middle of all the devastation when everything was acting crazy around him. He learned how to worship. The question for you today is, are you able to worship when everything crazy is going on around you? Are you able to worship when there's all kinds of mess going on around you? Are you able to worship when things continue to hurt you from all kinds of different directions? Are you able to worship in the middle of all of it? Are you able to worship? And we're getting ready to worship right now in this space. And Father, I'm so thankful that you are a big enough God that can handle all of it. God, I thank you that we don't have to hide our scars from you. God, I thank you that we don't have to hide our limp from you, that the worst things that have happened to us, that they can be redeemed, that the worst things that we have done, that they can be redeemed, God, that we don't have to hide the mess from you, that you can redeem it and you can restore it and you can still do something beautiful with all of it. God, I thank you that you are a big enough God and that you've made this a big enough church that there is hope that can be found here. I thank you for it, God. And I thank you that you are doing something amazing in this place, that you are restoring hope in this place, that you are restoring peace in this place, that you are restoring joy in this place, that as we worship, that things are being redeemed, that as we worship, that things are being restored. I thank you, God. And I thank you that as we bring these things to you, that you can and you will and you are redeeming all of it. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen.